Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a try!
Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M Network. For Bryden's lawyers, protecting your future. Peter Sterling, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, and James Hooper.
Oh, you gotta love your rugby league.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Good afternoon. Dan Gadane here, the replacement for the replacement. Tony Squires is off. He's in New York, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Gallivanting.
I spoke to him, and I said, you know, New York, best one of the great cities of the world. He said, I'm not really into New York, but I just wanted to get as far away as possible from those wood ducks. So that was the end of him. And then Maroon, God bless you, rest up. He's got an infected tooth. He's had dental surgery this week.
Cosmetic.
Yeah. And by the way, let me introduce the team. Ryan Girdler, hello to you.
Hello, Dan. Welcome. Great to have you on board
it's
today.
It's lovely to be here.
It is. You're like doing a long shift, though. You've started at 8, that fabulous show in the mornings, into this show, then obviously doing the call again with Wendell and I. So 6 hours with the Dell and I
and Jimmy Hooper.
Good times.
Yeah, coffee will be the winner. Mm. Dell, you've made the trip back to Sydney after your call in Brisbane last night.
Yeah, it was good. I was originally going up there just to watch the young bloke play in the 20s and wasn't a good night for the Dragons. They got beaten in the 20s and then they got beaten, obviously, in the big game. But, yeah, it was just good to get back and see some friends and family. And, the Broncos, they were okay last night, but Anthony Milford and Corey Oates, they set a really good standard last night, and Alex Glenn, so some good football there.
And one of the best newsbreakers in the business, James Hooper. Hello, Hoops.
How are you, Dan? What's going on, mate?
Mate, we've got to talk about Billy Harrigan possibly breaking a monster story because he heard it from some bloke at a pub.
He might have accidentally stumbled across a stick of dynamite because, from what I can gather, talking to a few people on the telephone this morning.
Don't give it away yet.
That there could be, and we must stress could, be some very, very significant.
Wow.
Player movement.
Well, if you missed it last night, we'll bring it back. That Billy just walked in. He said, "Yeah,
he took over the whole call last night." Though,
did he?
Well,
didn't he?
Someone needed to because it wasn't. It was it was a battle. South and the Warriors.
Yeah.
Well done to the South Sydney side.
They were really good.
But the Warriors, you are very dark on the Warriors. Aren't
I'm not dark. I'm disappointed. I think I have a lot of empathy for their fans. I mean, the last couple of years they've been sort of building towards something, and you look at their player roster, and you've got to think that they've got to be at least in the 8. And then if they're not in the 8, I mean, they're in the conversation. And then, 7 losses in a row and just it's one inept performance after the other. I mean, I don't know what's going on over there, but I just think it's unacceptable with the talent that they have.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, Dan. I reckon the Warriors need to go and get Des Hasler. I think they need to just think a little bit outside the box.
But Des has got a job.
Yeah, at the moment he has, but unlikely as of
when does Des go? Is it going to be the Monday after round 26? Will they wait a month?
I don't think even the Bulldogs know at the moment, Dan. Like you speak to people who are out there and around the club and, they're just jittery at the moment. I think they know that they need to do something different. Something's got to change, but I don't know when they're actually going to go crack bang and make some.
Well, because, the onus has also got to be put on the board. I mean, they've re-signed Des.
I think
two months ago.
That's why they're so jittery. Well, it was April, but that's why they're so jittery, Gerds, because there's an election in February, and they know that if they don't get rid of Des, then in all likelihood they'll get rolled at the election by a group of retired champion players that I believe is going to include the likes of Steve Mortimer and Paul Dunn, and it's going to be a strong ticket. So,
can we just have a moment of reflection here for Wendell Saylor? The poor man is doing it tough. He is about to embark on buying a car for one of the first times in his life. After just being given freebies all this time, he's run out of ambassadorships.
Is he going to start kicking tyres, Dan?
What's happened to the Bentley?
Well,
my deal was up, and even though I'm a working class man and I do the grassroots stuff, I've actually had a look at a few cars. So I've got a few different options, but I'm going to have to buy a car. I haven't done that since I was suspended, since I rest out of the game. But if someone's out there that wants me as an ambassador.
Wendell, let me give you the full story. you don't just buy a car, you need to pay registration, you've got to get that insured, you've even got to have that thing serviced. I mean, how are you going to manage all those things in 1 year?
I don't know. Tara will figure it out, mate.
Oh, by the way, I need to mention now today, all right, I'm in for Tony or in for Maroon, in for Tony. This man, Ryan Girdler, will make his hosting debut on the Sunday Triple M NRL show with Talas and Kent.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And Hindy's coming in tomorrow
Nathan
as well.
Hindy, wow.
Yeah, it's going to be good fun. Looking forward
to it. How do you think Girds is going to go as a host?
Oh, strong. Strong, mate. No, he's purpose-built for it. Yeah, he's a trained professional these days, so he will not miss a beat.
Just depends. If he's a bit tired and grumpy, there's the Ryan Girdler that everybody loves, but I've seen the Ryan Girdler where if he doesn't feel like talking to you and that, well, and he's a bad mood, well, you'll get that too.
I'll be happy tomorrow.
Watch this space for if the cooler makes an appearance.
Oh,
that
could
turn things very interesting.
No, the cooler sleeps all Sunday. He has a big Saturday. And he sleeps all Sunday.
It could go a little bit loosey-goosey if the cooler's in the house.
How'd the cooler go last week?
I think solid. I don't know. I have no idea. I've been dead 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, the cooler tipped a horse and the whole meeting was cancelled.
Oh, you can't take that. That's not...
No.
Richard Friedman used to get on the Saturday morning show and tip horses that had been scratched.
The cooler's done that.
All right, this is Sunday. No, it's not. It's Saturday. We'll be back right after this. We're going to talk Broncos, Dragons. Are they done? Ben Hunt is going to join us. And we won't spend all show talking about this, but yes, we will get onto what's going on with Jared Hayne because there's been some big developments, especially with Neil Henry. This is Saturday Triple M NRL for Brighton's Lawyers, protecting your future. Saturday Triple M footy here on Triple M, of course, and stations up and down the East Coast. You've got Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, James Hooper, and Dan Goodane filling in for Tony Squires. We are calling a game this afternoon, of course, and it's Newcastle versus Melbourne at Hunter Stadium. And no Cooper Cronk. He has been rested.
And Glasby, I think, is out as well, Dan, from what I can get this morning. So, yeah, both of those guys having a break.
Okay, so the Storm there, still very, very heavy favourites with our friends at UBet, but Newcastle looking for their fourth win in a row.
It's not bad, though, Melbourne Storm. I mean, you rest Glasby and Bromwich Bromwich and McLean come into the side, Yeah, they're a powerful outfit, aren't they, this year?
And Tohu Harris, he's in number 18. Is he going to pop back in?
Well, I don't think he even got named Glasby, from what I can tell. So I don't think... I think... Has he been out injured, Harris, has he? Because why wouldn't he be in their 17?
Yeah, I don't know, probably just to balance the side, I suppose. I don't know.
No, he's been injured.
He's been injured.
Let's talk about the big story of the week. Boy, a week is a long time in football. Last Monday, so only, 5 days ago, it came to a head. Jared Hayne, Neil Henry. Fellas, what have you made of what has transpired at the Titans?
Well, it's just hard to believe what we're hearing at the moment, Dan, I guess, because, there's been some reports in the media that, you know, obviously when there's smoke, there's fire. You know that something's going on up there, but then the players and the coaches sort of coming out and saying that it's not true. And so you sort of need to read between the lines a little bit. But you can tell by the way that they're playing at the moment that it's not a happy place. And I think the head of it, I mean, the headline is obviously, you know, Hayne versus Neil Henry, but I think there's probably more to it than that. I think there's a little bit of unrest in the playing group up there, and I think they need to sort it out one way or another.
Yeah, look, I'm with Gerds. I mean, the funny thing is, I suppose, when Jared Hayne came in, I think we spoke this Thursday night, Gold Coast were working really well. You know, the fans, obviously, they didn't really turn up every week, but they had a style of football that complemented their roster, I suppose. And then they brought in a big personality. And what I'm hearing is off the field, he's been great for the Titans. But on the field, obviously, you know, people have said that he's taken a few shortcuts. You know, it's all about him. You know, he's brought that NFL attitude to the team, which doesn't work. He had it at Parramatta for a little while, but then they managed it because you got Nathan Hindmarsh, you know, a bit of the people's champ, then the other players. But now, the ripple effect through the team, all of a sudden players are going, why is he on this much money? What about me? Obviously, Nathan Peets came out and said, I want Neil Henry to stay. So there's going to be, you know, different, I suppose, fractions in the team.
So they meet for 4 hours on Monday. So the Titans, to their credit, were quite forward. So the game was last Saturday afternoon. Jared Hayne gives an interview to Triple M and is very non-committal about Henry. Yeah. He goes even further with the News Limited papers and basically says, if they want me to quit, I'll quit. Well, the Titans, to their credit, took action and said, right, we're going to sit down tomorrow, being Monday, and we're going to sort this out. So it looks like they're being proactive. Then they sit down for 4 hours. They bring in Henry. They bring in Hayne. I don't know if they talk to other players, but then they bring in board members. So you're thinking, now it's getting serious. But then there's no decision, Gerds. And that's where all of a sudden it stops being proactive. And we have a scenario where on Thursday...
well, there was reports...
They're being coached by a coach who's probably not going to be there.
Yeah, there was reports from, I think it was Phil Rothrill came out and said that it was probably going to be maybe Neil Henry's last game on the other night. So, yeah, I mean, everyone thought that there was going to be a decision made this week. But, look, I think it's fair and reasonable if they see out the season and do most of their sort of air their dirty laundry in the off-season. I think that's probably, after the season that they've had, I don't think there's any benefit in, you know, making a decision now. I think they should go through their process, make sure they've, if it is going to be, you know, moving on the coach, because I think cost-wise it's going to be a lot... cheaper for them to move on, you know, Neil Henry as opposed to Jarryd Hayne.
But as it stands, if Henry goes and Hayne stays, and yes, it might be a financial thing. They can afford to pay $400 to get rid of a coach. They can't afford to get rid of a player for $1.2. But doesn't it speak to player power that the player has got rid of the coach?
Yeah, of course it does. And we see it all the time, so it's nothing new. But I think, and if that happens, I think, you know, in Jarryd's best interest to evolve as a senior player and a leader. You know, he's got to take that individuality. It's mate, I love the Showtime and all that sort of stuff, but in and around the team, Ash Taylor and these guys, they follow him. They look up to him. You know, Conrad Harrell, I know he hangs out with Conrad Harrell. Mate, everyone that they idolise, mate, Jarryd, you know, some might like his attitude, his personality, but he's 28, 29 now, I think. You know, whether he's there for a year or 2 years, he has to be more of a senior player.
The most successful clubs... in the competition, Dan, have really strong relationships between the coach and the core senior playing group. There's no doubt about that. Look at Cameron Smith and the Melbourne Storm and Craig Bellamy, their relationship. And look at, you know, Gallen and Flanagan and those guys, and even the Brisbane Broncos now, who, you know, their senior group and their relationship with Wayne Bennett. And Wayne Bennett's always been really good at forming those relationships with his current players. And I think, you know, to be a really successful club, you know, coaches need to rely on the feedback and the honesty of their senior playing group. They need to be able to, you know, ask questions and listen to the answers, knowing that these players are competitive and they want to win just as much as the coach does. I know the coach's job's on the line, but if I'm a first grade coach and I'm going in to take over a roster, the first thing I'm doing is trying to build relationships, reliable, trustworthy relationships with my senior group, so I can get the feedback that I need to make us a better team.
Can you function if a star coach and a star player don't get on? Can that work?
Oops, what do you think?
Well, no, you're the players. Okay. It wouldn't have happened often with you, Dil, because you had Benny and they all like
Every
Benny,
situation's but. Different, Dan, I think. It just depends on what the problem is. If the players feel like they're not being heard, I mean, sometimes the coaches need to evolve. I think that's crucial that coaches evolve, because players, you know, they're talking to a lot of other players at different clubs. The good ones going into representative sides, they're bringing back different techniques, and they want to contribute, especially if they're not being successful. So if they're taking information back, or they want to change different things in preparation that are valid, yeah, and that they think is going to help, they need to be able to have a relationship with a coach where the coach is actually going to listen.
Yeah.
And if they can move forward together, well, then I think they can work things out. If the coach basically just says, I don't care, this is my way, this is the only way we're going to do things while I'm head coach, no, it's not going to work.
You know the one funny thing, Dan? You don't see it at the strong clubs, and you don't see it with the strong coaches. When's the last time Wayne Bennett had a fallout with a star player? Craig Bellamy, Trent Robinson. It just doesn't happen. They get the business. They know how to operate. They know you can't treat everybody exactly the bloody same, like it's communist Russia. And so that's how they roll.
So where are we at? Henry gone?
I think Henry's gone. I think he'll get moved on. I can't see him staying. Mate, you know, in business... You know, you're not going to pay someone out, as you just said, you know. Like, what's it, $300,000-$400,000 he's on or something, you know?
The Gold Coast board, the Gold Coast power brokers at the moment are adamant, Dan, that they haven't made this decision yet. That's not to say that they're not going to, but there will be a board meeting. What we know as fact is there will be a board meeting coming up next week.
Yeah.
And absolutely, King Henry is in the firing line. The way I see it, there's four options. Either King goes, Jarryd goes, they both go, or they both stay.
Yeah.
If I had to bet my life on it, I'd probably say King goes.
What did Graham Annesley mean when he said there are broader issues here, it is not just Jarryd and Neil?
I think he meant that it isn't just Jarryd in the playing group who is making noises. I think that the inference was that there are clearly other players who have also voiced their opinion and made it known to the power brokers, and that they may also have a similar view to Jared.
Now, no club will pay 1.2 for Jared because he was available and no one offered 1.2. But if the Titans supplement his income, Jimmy, do you see, say the Titans pay half, just put that out there. Are any other clubs, are any clubs interested in Jared Hayne for maybe 500 or 600?
On form at the moment, I don't think they are. It's not just the price, Dan. It's what else Jared brings. It's the rock star image. It's the Hollywood cameras. It's the every training session having media focus and spotlight all over you. It's the minute developments of his everyday, however he's leading his life. So I just think that there's so much baggage that comes with Jared.
Mm.
The way I see it playing out, I wouldn't be surprised if King Henry is moved on. I wouldn't be surprised if the Gold Coast, I think they need a profile coach. I think they need a Queenslander. I wouldn't be surprised if they decide, right, we've got to make a play for somebody like a Kevvy Walters. He's just won 2 State of Origin series with the Maroons. He did a brilliant job pulling Queensland out of the fire in this State of Origin series when they were down 1-0. He went and blooded all these next generation players. He lost his gun playmaker in Jonathan Thurston after State of Origin 2. He brought Munster through in State of Origin 3.
He made some big calls, didn't he?
He's got runs on the board,
right?
He
was also consistent.
And not only that, but Kev is great with the media. He's affable. He's easygoing. Yeah, he's got players, great banter. He can be serious when he needs to.
Yep.
He won 6 premierships as a player. So he knows what it takes to win competitions. I get the feeling that if they go for a coach like Kevin Walters, he's the type of person who can get the best out of Jared Hayne. He can get Jared Hayne back into value for money rather than just money down the drain.
Yeah, but also, like, Kevvy is that sort of coach, but also, mate, when you're getting spoken to and just say, can you do this? I had it at Queensland Reds, I think I said the night. We had 4 coaches in 4 years, and Jeff Miller, who obviously a legend, Wallabies, sort of pulled me aside and said, listen, I need this from you. I know that you're one of our highest paid players, but I need this from you on and off the field. And that off-season, I probably pulled it back a bit on a few things, and even training-wise, got there a bit earlier, did the extras and stuff, and then boys started to follow. And that's what Jared needs to do now.
Yes.
I think he owes it to the Titans.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. If they get somebody like, if they get a figurehead like Kevvy in there,
rather than a rookie coach coming in,
I reckon Kev can get that out of
Jared. Yeah, of course he can. Yeah.
I reckon, like Mel Meninga alluded to the other night on Fox, I think that the right coach can get the best out of Jared, but it's not going to happen. The reality is, it's not going to happen while Neil Henry's in charge.
What about these comments from Mel? If anyone else says this, you'd think they're insane.
Yeah.
But because it's Mel, one of the great leaders of men in rugby league ever, you think, well, hang on. This bloke knows what he's talking about. This is worth listening to.
So I think they need to both stay for the betterment of the club. They both need to find a way to move the club. You know, maybe we talked about maybe Jared becomes the captain. Maybe Neil has a better relationship
really,
with
the
Jared.
Captain?
Well, I think so. I mean, you need something. You need something to
give a little spark. But isn't that bribing him? Isn't that rewarding sloveliness?
Not really. You know, it's about trying to get the best out of Jared Hayne. And, you know, when he was captain of the Parramatta Eels, they made those big runs into the finals as well. So give him some responsibility, make him part of the leadership team, make him the captain of the team, get him accountable, and then Neil has to work with that. And then obviously other players have got to fit in behind all that.
Yeah, look, man, I understand what Mel's trying to say and do there, but I don't think you can do that. I think there's other players in the pecking order. And also, I don't think Jared has earned the right to captain the Titans at the moment, you know? I think, you know, looking at saying, oh, I'm willing to go, I don't want to stay, but there's a few things he's not certain. So if you're a young player coming through that, you're thinking, well, mate, why am I following this guy, you know? If they want to make someone captain, mate, Nathan Peets, he's a guy that I'd want to follow.
Ryan James done a good job all year, and I think that's the issue. I mean, if Jared, and we don't know if Jared's fallen out with other players, but, I mean, you know, one thing that'll surely drive a wedge between senior players and Jared, if they see him sort of not training and not performing and all of a sudden he's sort of elevated to skipper, I don't think that would go down well in the playing group.
I was told, does this sound right, Jimmy? He's one of the first training sessions last year, he turned up with his own masseuse.
Yeah.
And the other players thought, what the hell is this?
But that's, as you know, Dan, you love your NFL. That's that very Americanized. Yeah. It's us versus them, you know. And, like, Jared's been used to having that. Yeah.
All right. This is the Saturday Triple M NRL show. We do it for Brighton's lawyers. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Never miss a minute of the footy.
Too good. Oh, mate.
Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere.
Listen to that crap. I'm saved. Hallelujah. you.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Yes, indeed. Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, James Hooper, and Dan Ganane filling in for Tony Squires. Is he back next week? Oh, yeah. The week after, because he's in 10 days in the Big Apple.
Oh, my goodness. See, that's why he is.
He's still made in Manhattan, I think.
He's gone over on that tour. What was that name of that show that it was Tony's favourite show?
The Love Boat?
No. It was those four girls.
Oh,
that
the Temptation Island?
Sex in the City.
Oh, yes.
Tony's gone over there to do the Sex in the City tour. Yeah. He's always wanted to do it, and he's just living the dream.
Well, he always said to me.
You have not.
I have done that tour.
I get out. Go on.
I'll tell you what, if you're a single bloke, it's not the worst thing to do.
Is that right? Oh, look at you, just flanning.
Why do they get you bar hopping around New York?
Mate, they have you drink Manhattan.
Please tell me you weren't drinking those cosmopolitan things.
Mate, I don't care. It was alcohol. Mate, what do I care?
I do. I love them, they're great.
We'll find out if our next guest has had a cosmopolitan in his life. Yeah. I'm guessing no. But before that, I just want to play this, and we'll get confirmation shortly, or at least we'll find out if there's legs to this story. This is Billy Harrigan last night during the call of the South Sydney Warriors game.
I heard a whisper today that James Graham signed with St George. So, Brady, wherever you are, go and dig that one up.
He then went on to say he got it from a bloke at the pub.
Yeah.
But Jimmy the Fox mail. Hooper has been chasing this up, so we might have developments a little later. Tyre Power scores. It was South Sydney 36-18 over the Warriors and Brisbane 24-12 over the Dragons. At Tyre Power, pick up a Karcher High Pressure Cleaner when you buy four selected Continental tyres. Very quickly, before we bring Benny Hunt on, what do we think of the Broncos last night? You were there calling it with Dobbo and Benny Hannett. What did you think of the Broncos?
Oh, look, I think they're in second gear. They did what they had to do last night. Milford was amazing, you know. Their forwards did the job through the middle. Dugan at the start, I suppose. There's been an 8-point swing, you know. He had that ball, you know, taken out of his hands. He should have actually caught that. I think he's worried about whether his foot was in the end goal or not. It didn't. And then the other end, 9 times out of 10, Dugan scores that try. But the Broncos, they're just their second face play. That's where they're going to beat sides. And, like, that's why I reckon they can beat the Storm, you know. They just turned them inside out. Milford was great. And the outside backs, Corey Oates, mate, he just does things. Just when you think that the wingers in the modern day can't do any more, Corey Oates makes this unbelievable play. And they did enough to close out. They probably would have won by more if Milford's kicking boot was on, 24-12, yes. And it was. And Ben Hunt was exceptional. I thought Ben Hunt did a really good job, playing off the bench. I think he'd like to start. I think he said it last night, but his vision. So the Dragons fans would probably be a bit of sweet because he'll be going there next year.
Well, let's bring him on, Sean Berrigan 2.0. It's Ben Hunt. Hello, Ben.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Mate, not too bad. Please tell me you've had a cosmopolitan in your life.
Can't say I have.
Yes. Mate, just Benny, last night it was a good win. You didn't blow them off the park, but they were desperate, the Dragons. Obviously, Wayne would have been pretty happy with the win.
Yeah, I was reasonably happy with it, mate. Obviously, we knew and he knew we weren't at our best, but we did enough to get it done.
Mate, Alex Glenn was playing well on the edge there, but also, you know, we talked about Corey Oates, but even yourself, mate, this role, mate, Andrew McCullough's a very good player, but you're adding a speed around that ruck and makes you more dangerous in your vision, you know, playing in the halves as well.
Yeah, I definitely can't bring what Andrew brought to the team, that's for sure, but that's coming off the bench, you know, I need to bring a lot of energy, and that's something I've been trying to do the last few weeks to really lift the team when I come on, and it seems to be working.
Ben, as a side, with the exception of a poor performance against Parramatta recently, the Broncos have just been flying along nicely. Do you think that Eels loss was the kick in the bum that you might have needed? Or?
Yeah, definitely, mate. We started that game pretty fast. I think we got two tries in the first 10 minutes or something like that, and then we sort of just let it go, and they ran out of the top of us pretty easy, and we got a bit of a tune-up that week from Wayne and really sort of knuckled down and realised that, you know, if we want to go anywhere in this competition, we need to be a lot better than that.
Benny, it was your sort of initiative a couple of weeks ago when Andrew went down to put your sort of hand up and be a team man and say, well, if, you know, Wayne would allow me, I'm happy to fill in at number nine, knowing how important that role is. What gave you the confidence to be able to sort of believe that you could fill in such an important role at this end of the season?
Oh, to be honest, I just thought I was the best option for the team and the makeup of the squad that we had. You know, I'd played a bit of nine in the past, and I was familiar with that role. And having the depth in the halves that we have Cody and Benji sitting there, I thought personally, that would be the best for our team. And I just brought it up and said that, you know, I'd like to play there. And yeah, Wayne was pretty keen on that and got it going.
Do you think that would have happened anyway? Do you think Wayne would have sort of steered you down that path?
Yeah, I kind of think he would have had that in his mind anyway. You know, obviously when Andrew went off that game, I went into nine. That's the way I ended up, and he knows I've played a lot of nine in the past, and he obviously knew the depth he had in the halves, so I kind of think that, you know, he had it in his mind already.
Ben, do you feel like you got enough kilometres in the legs now that you'd like to start the match, and do you think that you could get 80 minutes out in the middle?
Yeah, I think I do, mate. After having a few games there now, I'm playing, you know, 60 minutes straight, three times in a row. You know, I feel like I've got the legs to do it, but in saying that, what we're doing is working really well. You know, Sammy starting in there and taking a lot of sting out of the game. They've been excellent defensively in the middle, our forwards, and, you know, while something's working, I don't think you need to change it.
Benny, mate, I've seen an evolution of the wingers over the last, you know, 5-10 years, and every week I just watch them, whether it's Vunivalu or Rapana, I don't think they can get any better tries. And then all of a sudden, your man, Corey Oates, he's off his deathbed, and he's scoring miraculous tries. One of the best tries I think I've ever seen for the Broncos in the history. Mate, how did he score that, and has he let you know about it?
Oh, he's definitely let us know about it, that's for sure. He always does. But like a true Bronco winger. He's an underrated finisher, OG. He's a big unit, you know, he could fit in with any forward pack in the competition, but you know, he's one of the best finishers in the game. Yeah. You know, you never doubt him, you know. When the ref said no try and they're going upstairs, I had in my head that he would have found a way to get there, and he definitely did.
Unbelievable. He didn't even change hands. He just put it down with the opposite hand there. It was unbelievable.
All right, day off, Benny. What are we doing in Brisbane, the Savo?
Oh, not too much going on. I've been recovering this morning. Might duck down to the EH Hotel and, you know, just have a couple of quiet ones.
Beautiful. Yeah, nice. Yeah,
doesn't that sound like a good Saturday?
That's right, yeah.
You're not going to watch the Bledisloe, are you? You're going to watch the rugby league?
No, I'm not too sure yet.
I'll tell you another thing we'll be doing, though, Dan. He might have a couple of 4X golds. He won't be having a couple of Cosmopolitans.
Oh, yeah, that's okay. That's okay.
You might
actually
have to buy.
Actually, Benny, can I ask you a question? When you did sign, what did Wayne Bennett say? Because he usually gets it his own way. He never usually loses a player that he wants to keep. So that's why he let me go, but anyway.
He was all right, mate. We had a few chats over the time that it was all going on, but he understands, and he was happy for me.
Yeah,
beautiful. Well done. You're playing great. The team's playing beautifully. On track for top two, it seems, and a nice win last night. Good on you, Ben.
Good on you, mate.
Thank you very much, guys. Thanks
Ben Hunt, and we thank you for giving up a bit of his Saturday arvo, a day off. They're going to finish second, aren't they, the Broncos?
Good chance he'll bump into Talis somewhere if he's up in Brisbane tonight. But, they look like at the moment, you know, probably the second best team in the competition. Yeah. As Hoop said, they get to play Parramatta too next week.
We're up there Thursday, aren't we, Dan?
Yeah,
Thursday.
That'll be a good clash. Well, but, they're going along nicely.
Well, they've got two big Thursday games. I mean, they could – I haven't got it in front of me, but they could probably – I don't think I can drop out of the four now, but they've got Parramatta, certainly no gimme, and then the Cowboys up there. Now, the Cowboys we know are fading, but it's still the Cowboys in Townsville.
Yeah.
If they win both, they're guaranteed second. And but still, that gives them a home final at Suncorp in week one, and if they win that, a week off, and a home final in week three. So, most important, they finish top two.
But also, for Parramatta too, they're in a little bit of trouble, because Corey Norman was taken off the other night on a precautionary, and then Bevan French won't play for a couple of weeks, so that's certainly going to help. And they won't forget when they dusted him a couple of weeks ago after being up 12-0 after 10 minutes.
Here's a bit of a score update from the world of tennis. I don't know if people will be jumping through hoops here in Australia, but Nick Kyrgios is blasting Rafael Nadal off the court in Cincinnati. Kyrgios won the first set 6-2 and leads the second set 4-3 with a break. So there you go.
Is that lead up to the US Open?
Yes, Ben? That is in a quarterfinal. Okay. Rafa's the world number one.
Okay.
So there you go. Nick might just about to be...
he might pull up sore, Nick, and pull out of the tournament.
There had to be something. This is Triple M.
He deserves something, doesn't he?
Rocking, you're probably right. Triple M rocking the Saturday footy show, the Saturday NRL show for Brighton's lawyers, protecting your future. We'll talk a bit of Eels on the other side of this.
Never miss a minute of the footy. Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. For Brighton's lawyers, protecting your future. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
Time to rewrite history is now.
With Peter Stern, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor and James Hooper. Triple M rocks the footy.
Yes, indeed. It is Saturday Triple M footy. Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, James Hooper and Dan Ganane in for Tony Squires. The game we're calling this afternoon is Knights versus Melbourne. No Cooper Cronk, but the way the Knights are going, you'd have to give them a shot anyway against anyone at the moment, the way they're playing. But obviously a tough assignment this afternoon. We'll be doing that game from 3 o'clock. Now, one of these segments.
On Triple M, NRL, the best of the best.
Yes.
Ooh.
Powerful.
That's good production, isn't it?
Now, today, this is a professional show.
Right up there.
Now, today, the greatest rugby league flyers.
Mm.
Now, this is very open-ended. People, you can call in 133353, and I've been requested to get the top three all time.
That's why it's called top three.
All time, wow.
Best of the best.
Best of the best.
Best of the best.
I didn't know that meant top three, though.
Always top three.
Yeah.
I tell you, listen to the show on Saturdays, Dan.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Honestly.
He's busy, mate.
I tell you when I chime in, because I do that show in the morning, and you know I'm a night out.
Yeah.
I have a little snooze.
Okay.
I wake up at about 1:30, mm-hmm. and then I always hear the cooler's tip.
Yep.
I always hear 3 and 5.
The caller or the cooler?
Hey?
The caller or the
cooler?
Oh, yeah.
The cooler.
Mm.
And the I always hear... Mm.
Say you're broke.
Hey?
You're chasing.
But I like that you always pick 10 to 1 shots.
Yeah, always.
I feel like, look, he's going to hit eventually.
He does. Yeah, when he hits, it's...
but I always never seem to be on it. That's the one where I've had to leave earlier. Okay, so who are the candidates, gentlemen? No. Wendell Saylor, one of the great flyers.
Yeah.
Who are we going to add to the mix?
Oh, mate, I've got my three who I want to talk about. Oh, we're going to build it up? You want to build it up?
No, just build your three out.
Okay, here we go. Okay, in no particular order.
No.
Look, I'm going to go with a bloke who I grew up playing with in Mackay. He was that quick that people sort of forgot about
him. Did he play in the NRL?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, his name's just not Kenny, is it? I mean,
we'll know him. He went to Wigan, but he scored an unbelievable Origin try that you'll never forget. Mate, the fiery red nut, Brett Dulles.
Yeah.
Mate, he was quick. Lightning. You know? Yeah, so started at the Bulldogs. And for me, obviously, I think James Roberts. Mate, you can't not love James Roberts. He is one of the quickest players of all time. And then last but not least, I used to idolise this bloke until I played against him, and then I just tried to sledge him in that.
Wendell Saylor.
Chariots. Mate, he was so quick.
Yeah,
mate,
he was lightning.
Even when I was younger, you had to mark up on his outside because you knew he was going to burn you. Like, he was that quick. I think he scored 10 tries. I think then we spoke about it. He scored 10 tries in a
the Challenge
game.
Cup semi-final.
Yeah. So they're my three.
Now, and also, you should YouTube at the Nissan Sevens. He absolutely tore up a Sevens once. I think they beat Brisbane in a final. Were you playing in that game?
No.
I don't think
the Sevens were
early 90s,
weren't they? Yeah, 92,
pretty fair.
And I think he scored 4 tries in the final. Okay, very nice start.
Yeah.
Jimmy Hooper, who have you got on your list?
Yeah, I'm going to go with a current player straight off the bat, Dan, and that is Josh Adokar, the Fox.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what, all you got to do is give him the ball and show him a bit of daylight, and he can absolutely fly.
Who's quicker, Adokar or Wendell's pick?
Jimmy the
Roberts?
Jet?
Yeah.
There's a shandy in it.
I'd go with Roberts at this point. I think he's just probably just a little bit more powerful. I reckon he'd probably surge late, Roberts, whereas Adokar, probably quicker off the mark, but probably wouldn't stride out as well as Roberts. I don't know. That's
wouldn't
just
you rather apply? Hey, you'd rather both. That's fine. But either will do. But wouldn't you rather apply a quick off the mark?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
I think in league.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I'd love to see, Dan, is a 100-metre match race of current NRL players, the Flyers,
thank
the speedsters.
Yeah,
get them there,
up, Dan.
Make it happen. Yeah. It would be fantastic.
If we can, there are all sorts of, sponsors. How can someone not promote it? I'm sure a television station, Fox would get behind it or not. Someone would pay good money. You build it up. It's an hour and a half show.
And you give the winner $100,000. So you make sure they all want to get 100%. Involved. They want to train hard and they want to get and do it in the World
there
Cup.
There is money in this.
Yeah.
They did
one like 4 or 5 years ago. Remember when GI was injured and that? And he didn't sort of, so people were worried. But
you've gone Adokar,
back on the best of the best. I went back to the 80s and the 90s and Andrew Eddingshausen. I don't know if it was the flowing mullet or what it was, but down at Shark Park, I'll tell you what, he was an absolute speed machine. And then I'm going to go a bloke who Wendell played plenty of footy alongside and won premierships with, Steve Renoff, the Pearl.
Yeah, he was quick.
I'll tell you what, he was a speedster.
He ran as quick as he needed to. Oh, I've got no doubt. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, when Ricky Walford chased him,
he just
did enough to get there, but he had another gear in him.
I wonder if he's underrated as a speedster because he was so silky.
Yeah,
yes,
I think
the way he would glide.
Your three different from Wendell's three. Mm. All right, Ryan Girdler.
Well, I'll stay with the current theme, and I saw a guy put on a performance last night that can't be denied. Alex Johnston at the moment.
Well,
he
yeah.
burnt Tuivasa-Sheck. He had about 5 metres to work in and in and awayed him, which was just something you don't see too often against a quality opposition. So I reckon he'd give the current players a real run. I'm going to go with Kenny Irvine. Back in the day, 212 tries, was an absolute flyer, you know, played for the Bears and Manly, and he was clocked at 9.3 seconds in the 100-yard dash. So I don't know that what that converts to, but it sounds pretty fast, Dan.
I think that's quick.
Another guy that that was clocked at 10.5 in the modern terms, over 100, played on the wing for the Knights, Darren Albert.
Oh, yes.
He was quick.
Yes.
1997 grand final.
And with Joey,
I reckon Shane Werrett was another guy that could get along.
I was trying to think.
Shane Werrett could move.
You were thinking Odenrein, no?
Could move. I think they were on the same different wings at the same time, weren't they, at Parramatta there, those two?
There we go. So I would have had Lee Odenrein because he beat Martin
O'Fine. I reckon there's a little bit of, I'm just saying.
Remember that was at Parramatta Stadium at halftime. It was Great Britain, must have been versus Parramatta.
Yeah.
In the old days of the Kangaroo Tours. When do they start again, Jimmy?
Yeah. I think it's next year, isn't it? Mal's bringing them back.
Yeah.
And they so they'll get the World Cup out of the way this year, and then I think Mal wants to get them back.
And they're on the boat. 12 weeks on the boat.
They're going to Fiji, I know that much, as a World Cup. The Kangaroos are going to Fiji. I think it's for a week or 10 days in preparation for the World Cup.
They need a media manager?
I think they do. I think they're looking for one. Haven't you already got a gig with
the Brister for the Italian World Cup team?
This is Saturday Triple M NRL. Saturday Triple M footy for Brighton's lawyers, Wendell Saylor, James Hooper, Ryan Girdler. What's up, big fella?
Oh, I just feel like there's a part of me that just left me. I'm just sad. Like, I just been up to Brisbane with the family just recently. My daughter came up to watch Tristan play yesterday in the 20s. And then this morning, I was coming back to work. I wish I didn't have to work, and it's the anniversary of my my in-laws up in the Burdekin. So the family's gone and left me for a couple of days, so I'm by myself.
So upset about it.
But they had a 6 o'clock flight this morning, and I had an 8 o'clock flight, so I had to come this way. And I just don't
know. Okay.
You'll just be quiet tonight.
Yeah,
just under the radar.
Well, I've got to function. I Bledisloe function tonight for
Ching.
For Lion Nathan with Owen Finnegan watching the Bledisloe at the Star.
And what's on tomorrow?
I'll just do some stuff around home and that. I don't know.
Staying at the Star or
everyone? If you want to meet Wendell Saylor, go to the Rock Lily at midnight.
All up the Coogee Pavilion tomorrow afternoon.
I just hope me in-laws have a really happy anniversary. I was going to jump on the plane tomorrow morning, but it wouldn't be worth it.
Do you like when people buy you a drink? Because then you're kind of obliged. And look, most people are very nice, I know. But you can get some dickheads.
Not really. But I actually don't mind buying.
After that guy spiked his last one.
Yeah, in 2006. Yeah, I know. That was in the eastern suburbs. So no more. But another funny thing is, I like talking to people. And people are generally like, I don't mind talking as you can understand. But yeah. But sometimes if someone buys you a drink, you feel obliged to talk to them.
Yeah. Well, when they put that sugar on the outside of the glass, sometimes it's not sugar.
Salt. Margarita.
Yeah, well, now I know.
Where was I going? By the way, Nick Kyrgios...
Don't take it off with your nose.
This is too far.
Nick Kyrgios has just butchered the match point against Nadal. For those that are interested, it's now 5-all in the second set. The Dragons, are they gone?
It's going to be tough for him, then. They need results to go their way. I tell you what, Gert said a couple of weeks ago, and I still reckon he's bang on, it all comes down to that match against Penrith.
Yeah,
They play Penrith next weekend. Whoever wins that game, it's going to have a huge bearing on who makes the eight.
If the Raiders beat Penrith tomorrow, which in Canberra, they're a form side of the competition at the moment. I mean, they're a chance, aren't they? Then it all comes down to next week.
Yeah, but Jimmy's right. They still now rely on a result.
They need some
outside
of there. They do.
And to be honest, I wanted the Dragons to make the top eight, you know, because I think Mary's put a lot into that team, and they played it as they probably overachieved probably all in the season. But I don't think they deserve to be in there now. When you lose to Newcastle South, Titans, they got the job done. And last night, with the season on the line, 24-12, they lose. I know they tried hard, but geez, the Broncos have some points out there.
They've got themselves to blame. But I thought, Dell, and I only saw the second half of last night's game. And I thought they sort of got back to a style last night that was recognisable to what got them into that good position early on the season. I thought
they did.
You know, their offloading was good. I think De Bellin's had a breakout season this year. He must be in Mao's calculations for that end of season trip.
I hope so.
He's in great form.
Yeah. Cameron Guinness is playing some pretty good football. And just as I said to you, like, you know, Nightingale tried. They had a few injuries. Obviously, Nana McDonald, you know, he was out and stuff. But, mate, they tried hard, but you just knew that they weren't going to win that game last night. And I think the Broncos had a bit more left in them, you know. It's unfortunate, but yeah, I think their season's gone.
So they got for and against on their side, but they're 2 points behind Cowboys, Manly, Penrith, and all three have this weekend's game in hand. Mm. So they're relying on one of those teams to lose minimum two games. Penrith, well, they play the Dragons, so that's one. They need Canberra to beat Penrith.
Yeah.
I mean, the Cowboys may completely fade because they are...
Well, they're playing the Sharks as well.
I reckon the Cowboys have gone down based on just the mounting, ever-growing injury toll, right? So I reckon they drop out and either the Dragons or the Raiders will most likely go in.
Well, yeah, could Canberra and Penrith both make it, which would be remarkable given where they were only a few weeks ago.
Yeah, but Canberra would need to beat Penrith and Penrith win their remaining two games. Mm.
That can happen.
Well, the Cowboys have got the Sharks, very losable. The Broncos.
Yeah.
And then in the middle, they've got West Tigers at Campbelltown. So that's the
not one. Easy.
No,
not easy.
The not easy. Are, the Tigers understand. Are a bit of cheek value at the moment, much like the Bunnies.
Mm, all right.
Causing a few sides some problems.
So they're not done the St. George Illawarra side.
It's open. I still think that, you know, we're looking at 10th position, saying that, you know, potentially there's still 10 teams.
So ready to be ready pretty for good, finals.
I think that's pretty good, and especially with the tail wagging at the moment, with, you know, Newcastle putting up resistance, the West Tigers. I mean, really, it's only those three clubs, the Warriors, the Dogs, and the Gold Coast at the moment, that are really out of form. The rest of the sides are all winning and sort of losing as they go along.
The Panthers are chasing 7 in a row tomorrow, right?
Yes.
The Raiders are on a late season roll. Yeah, they've knocked off the Premiers, Cronulla. They're starting to build a little bit of momentum. They're going to have to beat Melbourne in round 26, but I'd love to see Canberra get there, Dan, because if they do, it means they're on a roll. They're going in with momentum. You just said you don't want the Dragons in there because they got beat by South and they got beat by Newcastle.
And they make up the numbers,
That's right. That's why I'd like to see the Raiders in there because they're coming in with some form.
Sorry to interrupt. Have you seen who's missing for the Cowboys? We know about Thurston and Scott.
It's unbelievable.
Class players out.
Gavin Cooper,
Winterstein. There's two others that I can't remember at the top, mate. They're cannon fodder.
Yeah, they are. Actually, Gerds, mate, can I ask? I missed it, Gerds. I'm not trying to throw you under the bus here. I've been known to throw people under the bus before.
I'm ready for it.
No, with Penrith a couple weeks ago, did you say something like they didn't deserve to be there or something?
I've been critical of Penrith all year. Yeah. I don't think they're playing the style. Well, I don't think up until last week, I don't think they've been playing the style of football that can, you know, that they can be successful at the back end of the season. They haven't got the small parts of their game right defensively. I don't think they've been that good, and I think the back end of their sets have been using, you know, taking poor options, and they look unsettled and they're not confident in that part of their game. But I think I saw, especially in the second half of last week's game against the Cowboys, I think the Cowboys were willing, and Penrith just showed another side to them, I thought, last week, that potentially they could grow and improve on and certainly compete next, certainly put up a good performance tomorrow. And then if they do make the finals on the back of, you need to go into the finals not just with enough points but with some form with some confidence and some momentum, and I just didn't feel they had that up until last week.
You want to go in there beating your chest, I think Tony Squires said a couple weeks ago with the Dragons, if they did get in there, they'd be making up the numbers. I think the Dogs knocked them out a couple of years ago. They got in there, they had a red hot crack, but They're not that same team they were at the first half of the season because of a couple of different things. But with Penrith, I reckon they can really, like Canberra, they can really just get roaring.
Don't forget, you can hear every second of Triple M footy wherever you are. So, for instance, this afternoon, any game we do, you can hear it on the Triple M NRL app, which is free to download.
Love the app.
This is Saturday Triple M footy. What does the Fox say? That's coming up on the other side of this.
Triple M rocks the NRL. The Brighton Lawyers, protecting your future.